as Michael just shared with us from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus in this chapter talks about the sheep and the goats, that is, the saved and the lost. Sometime back, there was a youth minister who decided to use this chapter to present a sermon. He did. I was not allowed to hear that lesson, but from what I understood, he did a pretty good job. After he gets through the bulk of the material, he comes down to the conclusion. He has a PowerPoint system, and he points to the PowerPoint and says, "You don't want to be a goat." And up flashes a picture of a donkey. There were a number of 4-H members in that assembly, and let's just say they knew the difference between a goat and a donkey. This morning, I do not have a picture of a donkey. I don't have a picture of a goat or a sheep. But I do want to share some information with you about Matthew chapter 25. We've probably, if we have read the Bible very much, read this passage many, many times. But as you look at Matthew 25, have you ever noticed the authority of Jesus? This is, I think, a teaching that is expressed quite well in this passage, but it's easy to overlook. At times we talk about the authority of Christ, and if we were asked to prove or establish the authority of Christ, I suspect that a lot of people would go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. That's the place where Jesus says he has all authority, and that's a perfectly good passage. We also, though, see Jesus' authority in Matthew chapter 25. If you turn to this passage, if you follow along with the reading that Michael offered, let's take a look at Matthew 25, verse 31 once again. That verse says, "But when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory." Jesus could have said, "I'm going to return. And when I return, I'm going to return in glory." But that's not what he said. If you look carefully at Matthew 25, verse 31, the text says Jesus is going to return in not just glory, but Jesus says he's going to return in his glory. Jesus Christ deserves glory. Jesus Christ has glory. He's entitled. He possesses the same glory as the Father. You may remember that in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 5, Jesus, just before he goes to the cross, he claims that he had the same glory that the Father possesses before coming to this world. So rather than simply return in glory, Jesus said, "I'm going to return in my glory," that divine glory. As we look at Matthew 25, 31, we also find that Jesus, when he returns, he's not going to be alone. Verse 31 says, "All the angels..." Every single angel will return with the Lord. Here again, it is important to look carefully at what the text says as well as what it does not say. Jesus could have said, "I'm going to come, and I'm going to come with the angels." But that's not what the Bible says. He said, "I'm going to come, and the angels are going to come with me." Rather than Jesus simply being bunched up with the angels, you see, there's a difference between angels accompanying the Lord and Jesus accompanying the angels. The Lord is going to be the leader of the pack. The Lord is going to be leading the charge, if you will. He's going to be the one who's out in front. In Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus Christ is pictured as the glorious leader who has all authority. His authority is further illustrated in verse 31 by the word throne. When Jesus returns, it will not be any angel that's sitting on a divine throne. Jesus said he will be the one who is sitting on his throne. And he, as he sits on his throne, will be on a glorious throne. We can't get past the first verse in this teaching, Matthew 25, verse 31, without seeing the authority of Christ, without seeing the power of Christ, and without seeing the glory of Jesus. The Lord's authority, his universal authority, is also seen in verse 32 of this same chapter. Let's look at that now. "And before him shall all the nations be gathered. And he shall separate them from one another, as the shepherd separateth the sheep from the goats." When this time comes, Jesus said every nation in human history, all the people who have ever lived, will appear before him. That's what's going to happen at the end of time. Now, who is Jesus? What kind of authority does Christ have if these things really are true? Well, to me, it certainly sounds like the Lord does have all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus claimed to have the right, as well as the power, to separate people as he judges them at the end of time. He says, "I have the right, I have the power to classify some people as saved, represented by the sheep, and I also have the power and the right to classify some people as goats, that is, the unsaved." That's offensive in our time. There are people who any reference to judgment, it's not looked upon favorably. After people are separated, after those sentences are pronounced, verse 33 of Matthew chapter 25, the Lord gets into some details as far as the pronouncements that are going to be made. Let's take a look at that in verse 34. Then shall the king say to them in his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord claimed to have the authority. He claimed to have the power, the right, to bring people into eternal life, eternity with the Father in heaven. But he also claimed, if we skip down just a few verses to verse 41, he also said he has the power to separate people from God eternally. Then, you have that word again, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 41 implies that Jesus' power doesn't just involve people. His power also involves, it extends to the devil and his angels. Jesus Christ has the authority, more than sufficient authority, to send people into everlasting life or everlasting punishment. And a summary of his authority is found in this same chapter, the last verse, Matthew 25, verse 46. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not, and whether we acknowledge it or not, Jesus Christ has all authority over each one of us. A time is coming. A period will occur when we will stand before him and he will pronounce a sentence upon each one of us. There is no if we come before him. There is when, and only that question. When we do appear before the Lord, the events that we've just highlighted from Matthew chapter 25 will take place. Because of what's going to occur, would we not, be well advised to consider what we have here and perhaps elsewhere when it comes to sheep and goats. For the last 2 years at our county fair, I've gone to the sheep and goat barn and talked to the 4-H members there about sheep and goats. I've asked them for 2 years to tell me about their experience with sheep and goats so I could better understand what Jesus was saying here in Matthew chapter 25. This year, I talked to probably half a dozen people out there. And one lady, she seemed somewhat religiously inclined, a little hesitant to speak because of what she had to say, a little embarrassed, but she was willing to talk to me. And she said, well, I don't really want to tell you this, but she said, I prefer the goats. And she said, I've had sheep and I've had goats, but I really prefer the goats. And I said, well, why? She said, well, when I call the goats, they always come. They know the names. And she said, I've had lots of lambs, but the lambs, I've not had one lamb that I called its name and a lamb never came. And she said, goats, I also like them because they are in many respects individual thinkers. She said, if there is a sheep and it goes off the cliff, all the rest are going to follow. But if Billy the goat is out there and Billy the goat goes off the cliff, the rest of the goats are going to know that's not wise. And the rest of the goats have enough sense because they're individual thinkers. They don't have that herd mentality. They're not going to follow. Well, in Matthew chapter 25, do we not see that kind of individual thinking when it comes to the goats? Jesus said there were times when the goats could have fed the hungry, Matthew 25, verse 42. But they chose not to. There were occasions when they could have given water to the thirsty. But they were individual thinkers. He said there were situations where they could have helped the strangers, but they wanted to go their own way. There were those goats who could have clothed people and aided them in different ways. They could have made some visits. But rather than seek to actively live out and fulfill the will of God, the goats wanted to go their own way. They wanted that independent living. That's exactly what we find when we look at Matthew chapter 25. Now, those who live as a goat, and that's how the majority of live, we find that oftentimes they do very well, maybe extremely well, when it comes to earthly success. If you start looking at the goats of our world, you can find many of them making excellent choices as far as this life is concerned. In fact, I'd go so far as to say, if you want to know about worldly success, if you want to know about worldly honor, if you want to look at fame, look at the great models of goats in this world. In Luke chapter 16, verse 8, I'm not going to read that or turn over there. But in that passage, Jesus essentially describes a goat. He talked about the sons of this world, the goats. And he said, the sons of this world, he said, those goats, he said, oftentimes they are wiser than the children of light. And he was right. You see, goats sometimes do so well in this life because they see this earth as their home. And because this is where their hopes are. This is where their hopes lie. They're very good. They're very skilled at making this earth a pretty good abode. If you want to know how to make this earth a great home, where your hopes and your dreams are, look for a goat. Talk to a goat. They can help you do that. Goats can be so skilled at making this world look desirable and pleasurable that this is the ultimate, that they can seem like they are people who have achieved it all. I've lived long enough to have seen my fair share of some mighty fine goats, the unsaved. I've seen some of their houses. I've seen some of their cars. I've seen their vacations, at least the pictures. I've seen their parties. I've seen the number of people that they have as far as friends. When I think about goats, I've found that some of them achieve the very best when it comes to school. They seek to have the very best job, and nothing wrong with having a good job. That's not the point of today's lesson. I've seen that they have made the best possible preparations for retirement, healthcare plans. It goes on and on and on. As I look at goats, I've also found over the years that sometimes they can excel at getting out of trouble. Within the last month, I heard a goat boast about how he beat a speeding ticket. This particular goat was flying down the road. I mean, maybe 80, 85 miles an hour. And as the goat was speeding, there was on the other side of the highway a police officer that passed him. And the road was set up in such a way where there was no quick way for that officer to get turned around and chase down the goat. Now, I don't know what you would have done in that set of circumstances, but you might have tried to outrun that cop, but they have radios, and that may not have been the best choice. This goat knew that he was over the speed limit. He knew that he was way over the speed limit. He knew that he had been drinking some. So this semi-woozy goat decided to pull off on the side of the road about where he was. The officer first lit up the lights and wait for the officer. It was late at night. He pulled off, turned on the dome light, put his hands on the steering wheel, and waited for that officer. When the cop showed up, he was super polite, more polite than he normally is. He told that officer, "Oh, I'm so tired, I'm far from home, I'm on a long trip," and really gave the officer a sad story. And then the goat boasted of how he beat the ticket. He got off on a warning. Should have been ticketed with a pretty good fine, but it got off with a warning. You see, as you look at the goats of life, oftentimes they excel at squeezing out the very best life they can. They can squeeze out of this life as much as anybody can. They may be helpful to others at times. But basically, the goat life is a life where there is not that much interest in God and spiritual matters. Are we a goat? Are we someone who, as we look at our life, is well-versed in the things of this world because we really see this earth as our home? Are we someone who finds more joy in the goats of this life than the people of God? At this very moment, if the Lord were to return, would we be counted as a goat or would we be classified as a sheep? Somebody says, "Well, I don't know. I've never really thought about that question. Would I be a goat or would I be a sheep?" We simply need to look at God's word and ask that question. Most of the people, as we look at the span of human history, will be identified as a goat instead of a sheep. If we want to spend eternity with God, we must be a sheep rather than a goat. Sheep are unique for some reasons. Going back to the fair and some of the things that I learned, and certainly you see this from the Bible. Sheep are goats. Let's get that right. Sheep are people who are willing to follow the shepherd. That, of course, is Jesus Christ. If one sheep, as we noted earlier, goes over the cliff, the rest are going to follow because they are followers. Sheep need to be led. When God compares the saved to sheep, we have some information which is insightful for us. Describing the saved as sheep implies that we need a leader. No matter how wise we are, no matter how well-educated we are, no matter perhaps how intuitive we are, regardless of how smart we are, we need a leader. We need a shepherd. We need to be led. Some would say, "Well, let's be led by the majority." Others would say, "Let's create civil government and make it strong, and the government's going to lead us." I ask, can we find a better leader than someone who has all authority Matthew 28, verse 18. The answer to that question is no. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he wants to lead people to heaven. Goats don't want to be led. Goats want to live as they want to live. They want to wander where they want to wander. God says we must be willing to be led if we want to be one of the sheep and saved. When it comes to being saved or lost, we have a very clear choice. If we choose to live as a goat, and there are many who make that choice, knowingly or unknowingly, the Bible tells us exactly what's going to happen to us when Jesus returns at the end of time. If we are a sheep, the Bible teaches, and I'm going to show you this in the book of Revelation if you want to follow along. Grab your New Testament and turn over about halfway in Revelation to Revelation chapter 14. We're going to be reading some verses from there momentarily. But in Revelation chapter 14, the Bible says that if we choose to live as a sheep, Jesus, when he comes back, will personally collect us. If we choose to live as a goat, someone other than the Lord will be doing the collecting. Now, before John gets to the sheep and goat stuff, and he uses different wording, but that's what he's talking about. He says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, these two things. Number one, he says, if you live your life for God, if you are a sheep, when you die, your labor will follow you. You're going to rest from your labors and your work will follow you. Those are two great points. If we choose to live as a sheep, we will not regret it. But if we choose to live as a goat, we will have a much different experience. All right, you found Revelation 14. Let's start with Revelation 14, verse 14, and read down through verse 16. John says, and I saw, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud, he says, there was one sitting like unto a son of man. That's a reference to Jesus. Having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the temple, crying with a great voice to him that sat in the cloud, send forth thy sickle and reap, for the hour to reap is come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That is, it's time for the second coming. It's time for Jesus to go back. And he that sat on the cloud cast his sickle upon the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, to break that down a little bit, here is the image. It's time for the Lord's return at the end of time. When Jesus does come back, John says it's going to be like the Lord sends his sickle, not just here or there, but he sends his sickle throughout the earth. If you're not familiar with the word sickle, I think most are, but that would have been a tool to harvest crops. John says that Jesus will personally do some harvesting for the sheep, for the saved. Jesus, John says, will come back and personally collect his people. Imagine, at the end of time, being personally swept up by the one who has all power, all authority. I'd like to be on that side of the judgment. How about you? That's what John says will happen to the people who are in a right relationship with God. Jesus will show up and he will be willing to say, I am here for you. Come to me. And then as we pick up from Matthew chapter 25, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. At the end of time, those who are God's sheep will have the best possible experience. But not everybody's going to be a sheep. As we've learned from Matthew chapter 25, some are classified as goats. And as we continue to read on in Revelation chapter 14, the Bible specifically says that if we fall into that second category, if we are a goat instead of a sheep, we will be collected. We'll also be taken. But Jesus is not going to do the collecting of the goats. Let's start with verse 17 and read down through verse 20, same chapter. And another angel came out from the temple which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, he that hath power over fire. And he that called with a great voice to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, send forth thy sharp sickle. Now it's time, though, for the unsaved. And gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel cast forth his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vintage of the earth, and cast it into the winepress, the great winepress of the wrath of God. Verse 20. And the winepress was trodden down outside the city. And there came out blood from the winepress, even unto the bridles of the horses, as far as 1,600 furlongs. Verse 19 uses the word winepress. It specifically talks about the wrath of God. And that's just another way of saying the goats. It's another way of describing the unsaved. Trampled grapes in verse 20 means or signifies its parallel to the words in Matthew chapter 25, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." At least for a while, it might seem like the goat life is the best possible life, that goats have more fun. Goats often see grass as greener on the other side of the fence. That's going to be what we talk about after the lunch today. But in the end, goats, every single one of them, will be eternally separated from God. Matthew 25 and Revelation chapter 14, verses 17 through 20. No donkeys at the end of time, but there will be people, all kinds of people, who are either identified as a sheep or a goat. Are we someone who's a goat? We are. If we are accountable for our actions and we never become a Christian, we might think that we're a nice person. Other people might think that we're nice people. But if we are not in Christ, we're a goat. And until we take the steps that God has given, faith, repentance, confession, baptism, we are a goat if we are accountable for our actions. If we're someone who has become a Christian, and for some reason we've left the faith, we've gone back into the world, we've sided with the goats. If we stay on that side of the fence, we'll die as a goat. We will die in sin. Are we a sheep? Are we someone who has looked at God and said, "I need to be led, and I need Christ as my leader. I believe in him. To be led by him, I've got to repent. To be led by him, I've got to confess that he is the only shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And to be part of the flock, I've been baptized into him," Galatians 3:27. Put into his spiritual body of the church, a member of the flock, and he leads me every single day. Sheep, goat, which are we? Which state will we choose to die in? Those are the questions that we're asking, and hope that you'll give the right answer to as we stand and sing the selected song.